Happy hump day. It's Wednesday. This is Lori and Julia. We've got Lexi sitting in for Grant today. Busy day. Hi, Lexi.
Hello.
I don't think we've ever done a show with you, have we?
No, not like a full show. Maybe like the last half hour.
I mean, yes. I hear you on Saturdays.
I do too.
Your lovely tones.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your beautiful cat eyes. Yeah. She's our makeup gal around here and looks glorious. Yesterday's show, we started out with emails from Gretchen telling us we cannot go off the air before you watch the movie Poor Things.
Yes.
We got tons of people who said, don't watch it, don't watch it. But Gretchen now has upped herself.
Oh, she's got
and so that was kind of going on the thread yesterday.
And the Road to Hana.
The Road to Hana. So today, Gretchen wants us to know, 100 hugs, ladies. If you hate the movie, I'll donate $50 to the next fundraiser. So Gretchen's laying down the money. And then we got many emails, but this one is really moving and sweet.
Oh.
And this is from Paige.
Is this why you told me I couldn't read emails?
I told Lori she can't read. It's funny that I would even have to say that to you because you usually don't. But you've been reading them lately.
I've been reading
them. Changing her ways.
Now that I'm leaving the show, I can read
them. She decided she could read.
I can't get committed to anything. There's an end date.
No, I know. Okay, so this is from Paige. And it's thank you. And it says, Dear Lori and Julia, I would be lying if I didn't feel a little bit silly writing this. It almost feels like an emotional breakup that I didn't see coming. So, Lori, this is your warning that I'm about to get emotional, which, like you, is a bit out of character for me. I started listening to you both in my mom's car. You started in 2002 and I was 7 at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll never forget how my mom would laugh with you both, which in turn would make me laugh. Looking back and listening to you both for so long, you were truly pioneers in understanding women. For my mom, someone who was told to go to secretary school because that's all women could ever do, you saw her. You valued her opinion on pop culture, and you didn't degrade her for enjoying Bravo. All things that she eventually passed on to me. This is from Paige.
Aww.
When I moved to Denver for college, I continued to listen to you. Anytime I was homesick or missing my mom, I would turn you on for a laugh. Also, you were and still are with it. I am always the first to know about the hottest pop culture moments and piping hot tea. You became a safe place for me. After graduating college, I was depressed. My ex-boyfriend and I had broken up with me. My friends had all left Denver and I was stuck in the worst job I ever had. I was questioning everything in my life. But every afternoon, I would turn you both on and it would make me laugh throughout the day. As I moved back to Minnesota, I found a career path I love, met my fiance. You both have been there for all of it. Yeah. We met her when she was 7.
Oh, wow.
I remember crying, being so frustrated about the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and listening while Lori described her experience, which was similar to so many women in my life. Julia, hearing you find love again filled me with so much joy and reminded me that love exists at any age. I don't think that you both will ever understand the impact you've had on me. It seems fitting that as I turn 30 next year, it's also the end that you both decide to retire. Because the best thing you both have given me is the complete and understanding that age is just a number. Because of you both, I have no fear of getting older. And being a woman who loves Bravo and pop culture, I can't wait until I can be done with work and bleep off, you know, and travel the world with the love of my life. You both deserve everything that this next chapter brings you. Thanks for it all.
My gosh, that is so...
So we met her when she's 7 and she's 30.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet?
But I mean, specific about
different things we've talked about over the years.
I always wondered if it had meaning, like even just today, because we're having Liz Winstead on, and she's got a documentary
premiering
at the Minneapolis Film Festival, and I know at the time. Anyway, it's nice to hear someone say these things because we didn't really think about anything other than we're just going to be out loud about our lives. And we always, you know, I think being of the generation that we are, you know, we didn't have the expectations that we were going to just get married and have kids. And
we
did.
Yeah.
Go to college, yes, for completely, you know, all that stuff. So I guess we did. We would not. I don't think we've ever thought of it that way.
No, she's so articulate and lovely. And I'm glad that you grew up to be such a smart woman who understands the power of Bravo and a good laugh and pop culture. And also, you know, have this relationship with her mother and found the love of her life and is happy. But it ends with this. P.S. Lori, you influenced me on my honeymoon in Hawaii. Mm. And I would love all the recommendations before you take off with a smiley face. And she's going to the Big Island. So oh. I told her, I sent her back a note and let her know that we would be reading this today and that you will be responding.
I'll respond. I'll give her my best tips.
There's so many like these. And
That's
it makes you kind of choke up a little bit, doesn't it? Think of meeting someone when they're 7 and they're 30 now. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like,
well,
it's wild.
I mean, we had that happen a few times at the fair where we've had, I graduated from high school. You're the soundtrack to my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
We do, you know, and that always gets us kind of, we're like, what?
It's yeah. really, it's moving that so many people have spent so much time with us.
Yes.
And our own families won't listen.
Yeah, well, you know, they get us all the time.
I know it. But it always cracks me up.
We keep everybody else company in a fun and meaningful way and not even know it, you mm-hmm. know, but. Just by being ourselves.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone. We just love getting your emails. And yesterday's Road to Hana was hysterical with everyone's opinions and advices. We do have a busy show today. And we have a pair of tickets to Nicki Minaj at the Target Center that we're going to give away later on our show. That's on Saturday, April 27th.
Did you devise the game today?
Well, TBD.
TBD.
Work in action.
Because I sure didn't.
I know you did.
Grant's not here.
We will do just fine. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with stories we can't get enough of.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
One more time.
Okay. We're going to go to London.
Yes, please.
London because I've got a movie
Take
review.
Me away.
And we also have an update from Hugh Grant.
Love it.
In his lawsuits against the British tabloids. First off, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Casey and I saw a sneak peek of it. I believe it's in theaters on Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
And it's the Guy Ritchie movie. And first thing, the screen comes down. This is a true story. Okay. And I mean, this will be a movie that after it's over, people will be Googling like crazy, but Henry Cavill is in it. Henry Golding, Alex Pettyfer.
Oh, my boyfriend from British, way back when.
Yes, British. Alan Richson,
oh,
who's
gosh.
Plays Reacher. And this story became declassified in 2016.
Okay.
During World War II, Winston Churchill, Britain was getting bombed night after night after night mm-hmm. after night. Britain was losing the war. America wasn't yet in the war.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw Tom Hanks's movie Greyhounds,
yeah.
You'll remember that for boats to cross the Atlantic, which the U.S., we were helping Great Britain
yes,
with the
we
war
were.
Effort. But the German U-boats could sink. They couldn't be identified by radar.
Right,
so they were
right,
very
right.
lethal.
Yes.
And they were blowing up everything. And so Great Britain, Winston Churchill, all of the army, the Navy, everybody said, let's surrender to Germany. This is how close the
yeah,
world was
it really
to becoming
was. Yes.
Nazis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's a true story. So it gets declassified in 2016. And what Winston Churchill is like, there has to be a way that we can stop the German U-boats from being refilled and refitted with everything that they needed to go back out and
yes,
attack
yes, yes,
in the
yes.
waters. And they said there's no way. They do it in Africa, and they're in all this Nazi-controlled area, and there's this one port. And anyway, he goes, if we go rogue, if we go renegade, that's what I want to do. So he orders this super-secret mission, has a guy released from prison, a guy named Gus March Phillips, who's played by Henry Cavill, He has a guy in the Secret Service, if you will, by the name of Ian Fleming,
mm-hmm.
who recommends
who
Gus March Phillips, who later becomes the inspiration in the book James Bond,
yes.
to figure out how to sabotage the U-boat replenishment of everything they need and stop the Germans from attacking. And that's exactly what happens. It's these... In one guy is a master, you know, he loves to blow things up. Alan Richson plays a Dane who grew up wrestling bears and hunting boars with bow and arrows. Alex Pettyfer plays this also. I mean, they all have these
different roles, different specialties, like putting together the dream team.
Yeah. And Isa, what is her name? God, she's so beautiful. Anyway. At the end of the movie, at the end of this wildly entertaining, funny, and spirited movie, you get the pictures of each of the real people and what mm-hmm. happened to them and how they continued in the war effort. But that Winston Churchill saved the world from becoming...
He was...
You didn't even know it because the book came out like in... I think it's based on... Damian Lewis's book, How Churchill's Secret Warriors Set Europe Ablaze and Gave Birth to Modern Black Ops.
I can't wait.
It was
to
called
see
Operation
this.
Postman. Carrie Elwes is in it. It's just a fantastic
Carrie
movie.
Elwes, if that name, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Just for people, and it's Elsa Gonzalez.
Yes, Isa Gonzalez. And
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
people
amazing.
Can go see it. Jeff will love this. I can't wait. Did Casey love it?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie could direct the James Bond. Henry Cavill is a revelation of the supporting cast of characters are really great. It's an epic historical story that you didn't know you wanted
I can't wait.
To know.
I can't wait.
Be a great
date
great
night.
Movie. Great movie.
Oh, I'm so excited to see that.
So Hugh Grant.
And it's called again.
It has an unwieldy title.
It does.
But it's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And basically, Churchill was pushing back on his generals. Why should we fight clean when Hitler fights so dirty?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't follow any of the gentlemanly warfare. Why are we?
Right.
You know, so
we do have a post of the premiere
oh,
for the movie.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to see some handsome men wear Some good suits. Henry Cavill had a purple suit.
Oh, Henry.
You have to go look.
Henry. Thank you, Lexi.
Yeah,
thanks for telling us that.
Great looking cast. And it's just really,
Alex Pettyfor. We haven't
seen him in forever.
Oh, I loved him.
And we meet him. He's being tortured in a camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hugh Grant, the wonderful Hugh Grant. He has spent the better part of 13 years working on issues related to the unethical and sleazy operations of the British tabloid media.
Yes. And the wiretapping.
Yes. Well, he formed Hacked Off in 2011 to hold the media's power to account and publicize all the ways, the rotten things they do by the British press. He's been very close with Prince Harry on this, but he is very active on Twitter. Hacked Off Hugh is his official account. And he spent years suing various outlets, including everyone that's owned by Rupert Murdoch.
And those are like the Daily Mail, The Sun.
Yeah. Hugh has just announced he settled his lawsuit against The Sun after they made him a very large settlement offer. Here, he does not want to issue a press release. He does it on
Twitter.
And so here's what he said. For anyone who's been interested in my lawsuit against The Sun, the news is I've settled my claim out of court before it gets to trial. News Group is claiming they're entirely innocent of the things I'd accuse them of doing. Phone hacking, unlawful information gathering, landline tapping, the burglary of my flat and my office, the bugging of my car, the illegal blagging of medical records, lies, perjury, and the destruction of evidence, he goes on to write. As is common with entirely innocent people, they're offering me an enormous sum of money to keep this matter out of court. I don't want to accept this money or settle. I would love to see all the allegations that they deny tested in courts. But the rules around civil litigation, of course, it's Great Britain, mean that even if I proceed to trial and the court awards me damages that are even a penny less than the settlement offer, he has to pay legal costs of both sides.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
My lawyer tells me that is exactly what would most likely happen.
Yep.
Rupert Murdoch's lawyers are very expensive. So even if every allegation is proven in court, I would still be liable for something approaching $10 million in costs. I'm afraid I am shying at that fence.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert Murdoch has spent over $1 billion in damages to claimants and in lawyer fees, settling over 1,500 claims this way. Prince William got one of those.
Mm-hmm.
He seems remarkably determined there shouldn't be a trial of the facts. Murdoch's settlement money is a stink, and I refuse to let this be hush money. I have spent the best part of 12 years fighting for a free press that does not distort the truth. Abused ordinary members of public or hold elected MPs ransom in pursuit of newspaper barons' personal profit and political power. So this money will be repurposed via groups like Hacked Off into the general campaign to expose the worst excesses of our oligarch-owned press.
Good for him.
And
but that's so wild that he would have to pay the legal fees of both sides if the settlement...
Even a penny less.
Yeah, that's wild.
Which the court could do because of, you know, and that's absolutely crazy, but Prince Harry's trial against The Sun is scheduled for January of 2025. If they offered Prince William what was said to be a seven-figure sum to settle, Hugh Grant is telling us in his own words he's getting paid a huge settlement money because, how much are they going to offer Prince Harry?
Right, a ton. Yep.
And will he even take it?
Well, it sounds like, I think they will, Lori.
Yeah.
This
is how they do it. This is how they get out of being held to account.
They just have gobs of money.
Wow. Well, I mean, look at Murdoch and Fox. $1 billion for defamation.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, wow.
A good movie to see and a good story that's kind of wrapping up. Thank you. Thank you, my London reporter.
Yes.
All right. All right, everybody. Lori and Julia here for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters and Carole King, the musical.
Beautiful. The Carole
Beautiful.
King
Thank you. I'm just, it's so bloody good. Get your tickets. Get online. They do have matinees. I know Casey and my mom went to one.
Wednesday and Wednesday, Saturday, I think.
They have matinees, which are just great. And also, they've got new times. You know, dinner starts at 5:30. The show starts at 7:30 now. And so for people who want to be, you know, in a little earlier and go out a little early, it's perfect.
It
I love
perfect.
It. I love it. It is a huge Broadway fun show. The story of Carole King. She wrote songs for everybody. She wrote the album Tapestry that moved everybody. She kind of is, you know, the soundtrack to our lives.
For
and
sure.
so many more that you wouldn't even know about. This is a joyful, joyful play. Get your tickets at chanhassendt.com. Chanhassen Dinner Theater, always entertaining you.
Can I just tell you, Julia, when you see the
always
ministry,
entertaining you, by the way,
by
always,
the way,
always,
when you see Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare,
yes.
you are going to, well, first of all, the visual feast of Man Candy is unparalleled.
Okay.
Okay. We have not seen
that this, many good looking men in a lineup.
Kind of. And I love it. I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's so, so good. But when you see Alan Richson,
Richson,
who plays Reacher, when you see his arms, you'll just fall in love. They're absolutely glorious. And that he's tan and he's a Dane who grew up wrestling bears and shooting. He repurposes arrows that he uses. That's how strong he is.
Wow.
Yeah, just unbelievable. But it really is just a rollicking movie. And Guy Ritchie has got maybe his most, I don't know, a style that isn't going to be like, because like early stop, you know, some of his other movies mm-hmm. are like kind of intense in a way where he's just taking a true life story right. and bringing it to the screen.
I feel like he's grown so much as a filmmaker. I still go back to Madonna and Swept Away.
Oh, man.
That horrible movie in Italy. But I do love his, I love his movies.
Yeah. And The Gentleman
Snatched.
Is his story, you know, the movie and the TV series with Theo James. That was great.
He's so good.
All right. Do you want to know the perm report? I was at the salon today. I had to get a report from my friend Jane, who's one of the few people in town that's perming at Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how's the perm business? She said, you wouldn't believe it.
It's hysterical. Perms. Lexi, we grew up, my mother gave my brothers perms all the time mm-hmm. and herself a perm. My mom would have perm every.
Sure. My mom had a perm. She said that my grandma would give it to her all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
These are young men that are coming in. She said she did a fifth grader.
I love that.
And he came in and he knew he wanted pink and peach rods because they're looking on TikTok. And they know what size rods
they're
and they
thicker,
specify.
Smaller. The rods are important. Oh, remember this? I loved the smell of it.
Oh, you did?
I like that smell. My mom was like a beauty school lady.
Yeah. And she said all the high school boys, they're like, I'm getting a perm because girls love guys with curly hair. So I got to have curly hair. It's the thing. It's
at that
all Timotei.
Yeah.
Timotei.
It's all Timotei. Chalamet.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, They know what rods they want from watching TikTok videos on perms. And she said, you know, some of them have long hair, some just like the top permed, like how you did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all the rage.
I think it's so funny.
And she even has a couple of people from New York who come, a couple guys, because perms in New York are $500. And a perm with her might be, you know, if you don't have, you know, like long hair down to your shoulders, might be $150.
Think of how much perms are. I mean, my mom used to burn them out in 20 minutes. That is just so funny.
Anyway.
That is very, very funny, Lori. Everyone today, and we're not going to get into it, is outraged about how much women make in the WNBA. That's all going to change, but it's based on an older contract that they have with TV because Caitlin Clark is starting salary. is like $78,000.
Well, listen, the good news is now that we're paying attention, it'll be adjusted.
And ratings are going to go up.
And no one will ever have to settle for these crappy salaries when they renegotiate.
And ratings are going to go up because she's going to be playing in the WNBA.
And even other women whose names I'm starting to know.
Angel Reese. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark partied at Tao after the draft. Remember when we went to Tao?
At Tao after we did the SAG Awards, and we were not impressed.
Like at all. Like at all. There was,
that was the wrong call.
Sunday night in Hollywood. There's
the wrong call.
Yeah, you have to go to a hotel bar.
Season.
You have to go to a hotel bar. That's just for people to know.
Yeah, you go
if
to
you
a
find
hotel
yourself
bar.
On an award night in California in Hollywood.
You go to the fanciest hotel you can find.
That's exactly it. Because if you're not invited to like Elton John's party or Guy Orsay or whatever.
Or Siri.
This is what you do. Okay.
By the way, I got an intel from Sandy in Long Beach, who loves to go to the Grove. Great place to shop. She said the Swift line for the store, whatever they got, the pop-up.
Do they have a pop-up store
something,
there?
Something. Something's happening.
Tomorrow night's the night.
Yeah. 9 blocks long.
Can you even
imagine? 9 blocks long, you guys. So, yeah.
It's happening. Brittany will be here. She'll be our correspondent.
On
the pop-up,
Friday?
Yeah, she's coming in. She's calling in, whatever. The pop-up store in the Grove. Pop-up library opened.
Yes, it's
Lori,
a pop-up library.
Unbelievable.
And they lined up for 9 blocks. Now, you and I have gone shopping at the Groves. It's sort of like this outdoor mall. It's sort of like very
curvy. It is very, a lot of curves.
Yeah, so it would not be easy to line up at the Grove because of the way the flow of everything. The farmer's market is there, Nordstrom's, all these storefronts.
Michael Kors, where we drank champagne and spent too much money.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was funny.
I mean, I wish, where are those pants?
Where are those clothes?
I mean, it might, we're going to have time to dig into all those extra boxes of crap.
Yeah, the vintage.
Yeah, I have no idea where all the stuff is.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, it's called the Tortured Poets Department, and every day Apple releases the next phrase. I mean, it's just people are going crazy.
The marketing is just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of...
But there's all these Easter eggs in the pop-up, and it's just a little pop-up library wall, and you're just going to take a picture with a sign that says Spotify, the Tortured Poets Department. And it's curated 100% for this album. And it's a little thing out on the street.
We're trying to understand right now.
Yeah.
And so literally, what do they get when they get there? They just get a verse?
They get clues. Like there's a page that says, even statues crumble if they're, and then the next page, if they're made to wait. Obviously, song lyrics. And each day a page turns, right? Lexi, am I right?
Lexi, it's nodding. So you must be, you're a Swiftie.
I like Taylor Swift a lot. I have friends that are definitely bigger fans.
Yes.
But it sounds very exciting. She's a genius when it comes to marketing.
She is.
And apparently, Joe Alwyn had a boys only group tech with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott, and they called themselves the Tortured Man's Club.
Oh.
So she's not shying away from anything about this breakup. And there's a library card catalog that has 72 individual boxes, and 72 months equals 6 years, the same amount of time she dated Joe Alwyn.
Okay, there's tons of Easter eggs, apparently.
Yeah, tons.
And she didn't like, she never wanted to have a hidden relationship before she met him. And that was like in a mutual agreement, I think.
No, he wanted that.
Oh, he wanted, and she just went along with it for 6 years.
Well,
oh, there's 16 songs on the list.
There's a statue of Diana, the Greek goddess, and people are reminding people that the original statue of Diana crumbled while waiting to be shipped to London in the 6th century due to years of neglect. I mean, there's just like thing after thing after thing.
All right, so yeah. There people are going crazy. So
they're going crazy. I was trying to envision at the Grove how nine blocks
would
work.
That's so long.
It's going into the parking.
That's
ramp.
Really a fun place to shop, though. It's outdoors. It's really, really, really fun. Mm-hmm. That's a fun shopping
spot. And the
spot.
Farmer's Market is there, and you might see.
There's great restaurant there that we ate
restaurant,
at.
Restaurant, the coffee house.
Fun.
It is.
We good. Absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lorraine.
Yes.
Shogun. I know you didn't watch it. I know Grant didn't watch it. And I only watched part of it.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That show.
It's hard to believe it's only going to be, it's going to be done in 10.
I know.
They say it's going to be done.
I'm just going to say wow to last night's. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bit much.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, what's going on? I don't like it.
I do have some sad literary news to share with people. She tweeted it this today. She put it on Instagram and Twitter. Sophie Kinsella. Yep. Mm-hmm. She wrote, we fell in love with her with Confessions of a Shopaholic, which
loved.
Turned into a movie with Isla Fisher. But she's a writer. We've known her for, I feel like, 20 years. I can't remember. I feel like it's 20 years.
It's been a long time.
But she's let her readers and followers know that at the end of 2022, she was diagnosed with glioblastoma, the aggressive brain cancer that John McCain had. Mm-hmm. Eleanor Mondale had this kind of brain cancer. It's very aggressive.
And fast. And she's only...
54.
How old is she?
She's 54, and she's not told anybody because she wanted she needed to have the strength to tell us, and she's got kids, but she let her readers know today. So her books talk about someone who's been there for people's low points. That's mm-hmm. the thing that I think Sophie Kinsella's books always gave to people. You knew what you were getting when you read one of her books.
And Confessions of a Shopaholic starred
Isla Fisher,
who is married, who's just recently separated from Sacha Baron Cohen, and Hugh Darcy, who's Homeland Gal's husband. Is that his name? It's not Darcy, is it?
It is. Hugh Dancy.
Dancy. Mm-hmm. It is such a delightful movie, The Woman with the Green Scarf.
Yeah.
The book is good.
All of her books.
It's really good.
Yeah. Anyway, so just wanted to let people know there, because she's just been a creative, talented book person, and we hadn't maybe we'd forgotten that we hadn't heard from her for a couple of years, that we hadn't had a book. I just thought it was
a book in 2023.
Right, but I just thought, well, we haven't, and she probably wrote that in 2021. You know, I think she was like a once a year book person. We were never able to get her on.
No, I know.
She was too big.
She was too big for us.
By the time we got to our book.
She did. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with a dear friend of ours, Liz Winstead. And Liz, you're in town. Well, you live here part-time.
I do.
We know that.
And for people who don't know, Liz is the co-creator of The Daily Show, co-founder of Air America. You've given us a lot of talented people.
Stephen Colbert,
John Stewart.
Some people.
You've got a good talent picker. Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, Louis Black. Just people. Stephen Colbert.
Just people. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, Dara Moskowitz, Grumdahl did a beautiful story on you.
She did.
She's wonderful.
She really did. I was like delighted with this story about you getting your flowers.
It's a great story, people, in Minneapolis.
It was so nice. I was like, wow.
Were you taken aback?
I was a little taken aback. And my brother called me, because my brother used to be the mayor of Bloomington longer, I think, than you two have been on the air.
Yeah.
I like to call him Tito, because he just was the mayor for life until he wasn't. But he was like, oh, you said nice things about me. And I go, actually, Dara did.
Right.
Dara said nice things about you.
Well, you are having the Minneapolis Film Festival is going on, and you have a documentary that is debuting. Is it debuting here?
It's debuting here in this is its Midwest debut.
Okay, and
I love that.
Yeah, no
it debuted
one,
in New York.
I saw that.
Yes, okay. No One Asked You is the name of the film, and is about the work of your organization, Abortion Access Front, AAAF, have you had this for like 10
I've
plus
had,
years?
We started in, for real, 2015, but we soft launched in mm-hmm. like 2013. Okay. So it's like almost 10 years, but like real organization, 9 years.
Wow, good for you.
You really have?
Yeah.
That's
you
amazing.
You saw all the horror coming.
I mean, I would come here and talk to you all, I would be saying, yeah, Roe v. Wade is on the line. And yeah, all the men
right,
were like, I feel like you're overreacting.
Yeah,
and I was like, do you feel like I'm overreacting?
Because no,
are you down on the ground, I don't know, 30 weeks a year working with clinics and stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like you're not. I feel like you just want to tell me I'm overreacting.
So you had somebody just follow you, or is this pieced together? Tell us how the movie came together.
So what happened was Ruth Lightman, who is a documentary filmmaker who did an incredible film on Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling documentary.
Yes.
She's done a whole bunch of really interesting documentaries. So she saw me. She'd been kind of following my career a little bit and read my book, and then sort of watched, social media back in the day when it was fun. Twitter. Mm-hmm. Remember when Twitter was fun? She would follow me and then saw when I kind of lost my mind when Wendy Davis was in Texas and all that stuff. And she called me and said, I want to do a documentary about the work that you're doing. And so a lot of people think this started with the election in 2016, and it really didn't.
You were
me.
Way before that. What was when you just thought, I need to do this with my voice?
So what it was I myself have had abortions, and I just kind of was like, I'm just going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have my abortions, and I just felt like it set me onto all of my successes to be able to choose that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to walk away and say I got mine felt wrong. It felt like everybody should have that. If that's part of the path that they need to make their life better, everybody should have that without shame and without having to feel like they need to go into anything. So when I saw Wendy Davis in those sneakers in Texas on the floor of the House for 13 hours, filibustering the terrible Texas laws, I was like, why isn't this on the news?
Yeah.
So I started live tweeting about it, and I got it trending. And then the media picked it up an hour later.
Wow.
And then I did some research, and I found out that there was 26 other states that proposed that exact same law, that some lobbyist in Washington, D.C. wrote something called model legislation, where they just write one big bill and they give it to all the people. And I was like, this is terrible. How are we going to fight it back?
Right.
So I had just finished writing my book here in Minnesota. I came back
Liz
6 months. Liz Free or Die.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I rented a van and I put my two dogs in it. And I drove across all over the country doing fundraisers for clinics and going and visiting the clinics. And after like the 11th one, I was like, I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
So I got back to New York and I gathered activist friends, comics, like producers. And I was like, look, you've either all used birth control or had abortions, and we need to give back.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back out on the road, and I want to make sure these clinics are taken care of, looked after, and I want to build community around them. And so for the past 8 years, we have been helping the small little activist groups grow and helping them grow community by doing comedy shows and music shows, and then featuring conversations in each show with the providers and the activists, so that the folks right in that room watching the comedy and the music can sign up right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we have been super successful at growing those bases. And now if you've read the news and you see, like, that's how come some of these like ballot initiatives are happening, because those bases of people grew and community
like
knew
Kansas,
where to go.
Kansas, that's an example.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what.
Yeah, good for you, Liz.
And it's been hard to explain to people, like, what are you doing? So this documentary really lays it out. It also gives me an opportunity to say to all my friends in Minnesota, this is why I haven't had coffee with you in 7 years.
Oh, okay. Right. It's called No One Asked You, and it's this weekend. Where is it at?
So it's at the Minneapolis St. Paul Film Festival, which all the films are at St. Anthony, Maine.
Okay.
And there's two showings. The first showing is sold out Saturday night, but there's a second showing Sunday
at 2.
At 2. Perfect. I will be there during the talk back. And there's also a super fun fundraiser connected with the film. If you want to come, there's tickets Saturday night. Tricky Mickey, amazing DJ, is spinning funk and disco from the 70s.
Good.
And there's like amazing auction items. But the best thing is there's a silent auction where you can bid to sing karaoke with either Jeremy Messerschmitt, John Munson from Semisonic, yes. and mm-hmm. New Standards, Janie Winterbauer from The Suburbs.
Oh, my gosh.
And me.
Oh, fun.
So if you want to sing Magnet and Steel
yeah.
with me, you can bid on that. Yeah.
Stuck on You.
That's right.
But that's not a duet. We were just singing that yesterday.
You by my side. Yeah.
And are you happy with the movie?
I am. You know, it's
got to be surreal.
It's surreal to see yourself and then the amount of hairstyle changes and yes. weight fluctuations.
We know this from looking at yes. all of yes. our show pictures for 20 God. Years. The glasses and the hair. Holy
the glasses
cow.
And the hair and the you know, when you give someone permission to follow you on the road for 7 years and you're traveling around in a van.
Right.
Let's just say there's no H&M.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is like covering my ass mm-hmm. on the looking cute.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some questionable.
But we all, that's questionable. What, but I think that's what's relatable.
Yeah.
Because 100%. We all know, you know,
we're all
what we look like and what we do. And, you know, you had in this article, you know, you have a call to action if people want to get involved and how to help you. Tell everybody about that.
So I think the best part about the film is, and the reason I formed this organization was, I think people got marching fatigue. Like you get mad and you march and then what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what? Right. Right. And so that we can all be part of the solution in large and small ways. And not everybody has money to give.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be a professional activist. But like, if you're good at math or accounting, there is some clinic or abortion fund that could help. You could help do their books.
Yeah.
If you're good at baking, you know, connecting with your local clinic to give the staff support. You know, are you, you know, if you are a trusted person, people need to shred things, you know, people. Yeah. People can't get gardeners or people to fix their fences or someone to paint their clinic sometimes simply because they provide abortion and those places will come
and
get protested. So you can do all kinds of stuff and we connect you to them.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. This is Lori and Julia. You're listening to My Talk.